Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
It is the Chris and Amy Show, and as we promised, we are going to send it to Jefferson City as the new governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Kehoe, is at the podium being inaugurated.
Today, mindful of the honorable history of this occasion, humbled by the trust Missourians have placed in me, and determined to meet the challenges ahead, I will always remember and honor the solemn oath I just took. Growing up, no one would have looked at me and said, one day, that kid is going to be sworn in by Senator Roy Blunt as the 58th governor of the state of Missouri. And I will never forget where I came from, the sixth child of Lorraine Kehoe, a single mom who often struggled to raise her family in North St. Louis City. My mom wasn't what some would call highly educated, but she worked hard. She was a very, very wise and caring and loving person. She was God-fearing. Today, I probably have her rosary with me and used her Bible to take the oath. I learned a lot about life, faith, and relationships from her. Every time we kids complained about something we didn't have, she had a simple answer: pray harder and work harder. Mom was right. If you work hard and you love the Lord, you can get anywhere you want to go in this state, in this country. That's been the guiding principle of my life. Whenever we saw something that needed to be done, we didn't complain. We prayed hard and we worked hard. That's what led me to get started in business. It's why I ran for state senate. It's why I answered Governor Parson's call to serve as lieutenant governor. And it's why I ran for governor. So this day, thank you. So this day, this moment in time, it's a win. It's a big win for single mothers like Lorraine Kehoe. My journey has been the experience of a lifetime, and I couldn't have done it without the grace of God, my family, my brother and sisters who are here today, and the support of many mentors and friends. My wife, Claudia, has been an incredible partner and been by my side every step of the way, and she will be an amazing First Lady of the state of Missouri. Our kids, Carol, Michael, Maggie, and Claire, and our son-in-law, Scott, were always there to support Claudia and me. I'm so proud of each and every one of you. This is truly an emotional and humbling experience for our entire family. In the years ahead, we're going to need your continued prayers and support because there's a lot of work to be done. And because, sadly, the world around us has grown more divided and cynical. For far too many people, hard work has been replaced by handouts. The power of prayer is mocked. The contest of ideas is no longer a matter of right versus wrong, but of good versus evil. Political opponents cast each other as traitors and criminals. I reject this. I believe we can work together without sacrificing our core beliefs. One of my life's mentors was a man named Dave Sinclair. He instilled in me that building relationships, standing for your values, relying on your faith, and finding a path to make something work is a good thing. My story is living proof that a mentor in a young person's life can have a lifelong impact. Mr. Sinclair reinforced the values my mother taught me, and that was exactly what I needed. And quite frankly, other young kids who come from struggling backgrounds need the same thing today. They need hope. My life growing up in the inner city, moving to a small town, building a business, and operating a ranch, these experiences have taught me one thing. Missourians are more alike than we are different. All of us want to feel safe in our homes and our neighborhoods. We want our kids to get a good quality education. We want to work hard to support our families. Achieving these things, that's how we secure Missouri's future. Securing Missouri's future begins with public safety. Too many Missourians don't feel safe, and too many Missourians aren't safe. When people are afraid for their lives and their family, they cannot be productive, and they will not prosper. Later today, as my first official act as day one as governor, I will take our first steps in securing safety for Missourians. But that's not all. In the coming weeks, months, and years, my administration will be relentless in our efforts to make Missouri a place where it's easier to be a cop than a criminal. And when Missourians are safe, they can be the best versions of themselves. Our efforts will support the brave men and women in uniform who risk their lives for us every day. Officers like Eva Millar Galvan, who did a wonderful job singing our national anthem this morning. Man, she's a rock star, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. Securing Missouri's future means strengthening public education and expanding school choice so that every single student has the opportunity to get a world-class education. Whether it's a four-year college or a career in technical education, schools that teach kids how to think, not what to think, are the key to long-term self-reliance. Securing Missouri's future means creating stable jobs to provide both a source of income and a sense of purpose. My administration will focus on reducing taxes and cutting regulations so families can keep more of their own money and so job creators want to come here, expand here, and hire more hardworking Missourians. Finally, securing Missouri's future means securing our agriculture economy. Just behind me, and about 350 feet up on top of this beautiful Capitol, is our state's tribute to the hardworking agriculture families and their efforts. Some multi-generational, some first generation like Claudia and me. For our state to continue to feed and clothe the world, we must get government out of their lives and let our farmers and ranchers do what they do best, work hard and continue to produce results. Make no mistake about it, accomplishing these goals will not be easy. We will face entrenched special interests, a fear of change, and a culture that says we should keep doing things the way we've always done them. But Missourians did not send us here to do what's comfortable. They expect results. They deserve results. And with my administration, they will get results. This is my promise to you. I will talk to anyone, work with anyone, and root for anyone who has a good idea to make our state stronger and better. And when we succeed, together, Missouri and our citizens will serve as a model of responsible, conservative, and innovative leadership. Over the past two centuries, countless Missourians have plowed the soil, worked in factories, raised families, gone to church, and contributed to their communities. Our grit, our resourcefulness, our work ethic has produced remarkable citizens, people America has counted on to lead our soldiers into battle and to lead our nation into peace. People who have entertained us, informed us, and captured our imaginations. People who have led social movements, explored the heavens, and built successful businesses. Missourians are a people who work hard, who work together, and who never give up. Missouri is a land of opportunity. We were centrally bracketed by two rivers, crossed by major highways. We have been blessed with fertile farmland, abundant minerals, and industrious people. When we take these natural advantages and we pair them with conservative policies and limited government, we will unleash freedom and secure our future. It will take each of us working together to secure an even safer, stronger, and more prosperous Missouri. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America. And may God continue to bless the great state of Missouri. Thank you so much.
That is the new governor, Mike Kehoe, delivering his inaugural address. He has just been inaugurated. So he is the governor right now.
That's exciting.
Mike Kehoe is the governor.
I was super excited. I will say... Since our friend John Hancock was running this entire inauguration weekend, all of the festivities, incredibly punctual.
Dude, tight. Well, so Kehoe went over by about 35 seconds. He was supposed to be done
maybe there was a delay
at 12:13 because the Missouri Army National Guard Band is supposed to play.
At 12:13.
So he was 35 seconds late. So we're going to need to talk to him about tightening it up
late.
A little bit.
You know what I mean? Like, did he
start? Somebody was late.
When did he start? 30 seconds late?
I don't know.
How long does it take for the radio wave to get from Jeff City to here? Maybe he was on time.
It's pretty instantaneous.
Like 30 seconds?
Not that. Doesn't take that long. Anyway, so those are the opening remarks of the new governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Kehoe. When we come back, Martin Coco. What a name. He is the Cardinals Director of Marketing. He's going to talk to us about the Cardinals Caravan, which is coming up. Winter warm-up is coming up as well, and we'll give you some details on that. Getting closer and closer to baseball season, even though it's 15 degrees outside.
Oh, yeah.
Chris and Amy on KMOX. You know who loves this show? Mason Wynn.
Yeah, he does.
He listens every day with the Odyssey app. That's what you should be doing. Well, we don't really know if he does. But
you
should
can't.
Be listening.
Well, that's a big assumption.
It's a huge assumption.
It's actually a massive assumption, but we think it would make sense that he would want to listen to us every day.
I'm not even sure Mason Wynn has a phone.
Oh, well.
It's possible
I'm sure
he does not.
There's a reporter out there who's seen him.
Maybe.
On the phone.
But it's possible he said, I don't want anything to do with that. But the Cardinals winter warm-up is coming up. That means Cardinals Caravan is coming up because the baseball season is on its way. And to discuss with us what to expect for the Cardinals Caravan, we've got Martin Coco, the Cardinals Director of Marketing, with us. So we are looking at 4 days worth of activities in 6 states, 20 different cities, because Cardinals Nation stretches far and wide. Martin Coco with us now. How's it going, Martin?
Hey, good to be with you guys, and ready to get this big road trip on the road coming up this week.
Do you have the snacks packed?
That's a very important part of the planning, is the snacks, well, absolutely.
So we know this is a road trip, and there are vans that are taken, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are actual vans?
No buses. We take
buses.
A big, like, concert tour bus.
Oh.
Think that size bus. Motor coach hits the road, so we'll have around 15 people on each bus.
So there are snacks?
Oh, there are definitely snacks.
Oh.
We even get specific snack requests. I'm not sure we can always accommodate all of them, but snacks are an important part of the equation for sure.
And there are the fact that there are 6 caravans over the course of the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, does that mean there are 6 buses? Or are there more buses than that?
There's 4 buses.
Okay.
The way the trips lay out is there's 4 trips on Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
And then those 4 trips come back to St. Louis, and 2 more go out on Sunday and Monday. So across those 4 days, we hit 20 cities all over Cardinals Nation. As fans know, our fan base is really a far, wide-reaching geographic thing. So we, every year, want to take the players and the Cardinals' message out to all those great areas that support us so well during the season.
So what we're looking at is this getting started on Friday, January 17th, in places like Jeff City and Springfield, Missouri. Memphis is going to end up in Arkansas, Tennessee, Champaign, Illinois, Mattoon, Springfield. So we're talking about all these different cities in an area where the whole purpose of the caravan is to bring winter warm up to the fans so they don't have to travel to St. Louis for it, right?
That's true. And actually, the caravan, though, predates the winter warm up. So it for years was kind of a off-season barnstorming tour where we this goes back as far as we know, at least to the 1960s, that would connect back in those days. It connected very closely with, because the team was owned by Anheuser-Busch, the Budweiser distributors in each of these cities, which in a lot of cases we still have some connectivity to that group, but it's more heavily connected now to our radio affiliates. So in a lot of these cities, or actually every one of these cities, we have a radio affiliate who carries the broadcast all season long, and they help us promote during the winter months this event and help us run the event. So, yeah, that's the idea, though, is if you can't make it to St. Louis for the winter warm-up, here's a great way to get some Cardinals interest locally and not have to drive all the way to St. Louis.
Cardinals network is huge. As baseball teams go, it is a very big mm-hmm. network with a lot of different cities around the country, especially in the Midwest.
That's true, yeah. I think we're, I don't know what the exact number is that we're working on right now, but it's 140-plus stations across all over the Midwest and the Mid-South. So it's fun to take the group out and connect with fans on a real personal level in all of these towns and cities across the Midwest.
You know, I have never been part of a caravan, Cardinals caravan or other. The closest thing I've been to a caravan, when I was a kid, my papa and grandma used to drive a car behind our station wagon when we went to the Lake of the Ozarks. So that's as close as I've ever been to a caravan. But I love the idea of like you said, it's the winter warm up, but it's the Cardinals caravan bringing to all of Cardinals Nation. Is this something that is maybe unique to the St. Louis Cardinals? Do other baseball teams have something similar to this?
It used to be more common with more teams. I think there's a handful now that still do it, and it really only works probably if you have a pretty wide geographic fan base. So the Braves, for example, we know do something similar, the Reds, the Minnesota Twins, and a few others, but there aren't a whole lot left anymore. But we're definitely, I think if you look at some of those other teams, ours is definitely the broadest geographically and also has the most stops. 20 stops over 4 days with 20 separate programs is a lot, but it's a lot of fun to carry off every year.
So what do you like best about these caravans?
I think the real fun thing, and even our players say this every year afterwards, is just seeing the enthusiasm and support for Cardinals baseball when you're really not very close to St. Louis. I mean, a lot of these places, some are 2-3 hours away, some as far as Memphis, for example, 4 hours away in the dead of winter, and we'll have 500 to 1,000 fans in an auditorium or a hotel ballroom excited to hear about the team and the upcoming season, and even more excited. We do a kids' autograph session at each one of these. So that's the real cool part, is seeing kids who are connecting with the team and learning baseball and learning to be fans, getting to be up close and personal with players and get an autograph and a photo and shake hands with a player really means a lot. Typically, it's our younger players who attend these events. But over the years, what we always tell people is, every superstar was a young player at some point. So I've been doing these long enough that I know we've had, and I've been on some of these trips. We've had Albert Pujols on caravans a long time ago, Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina. So everybody who's eventually a superstar at some point was on a caravan, and it's fun for folks to remember, have those memories of connecting with a player, and then someday, you know, sometimes those guys turn into Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and you've got some alumni like Matt Adams, who's going to be a part of it, and Benji Molina, and Jason Simontacci, so on and so forth. So you have a lot of players, you have alumni who are part of this. So this is a pretty big event that gets started on the 17th.
Yeah, it's fun, and you know, it coincides really well with our winter warm-up every year. So a lot of these, well, all of these players and alumni are already in town for that event. So it works out nicely calendar-wise for us to just take them out for a little road trip and bring them back and connect with fans along the way.
All right, so the Cardinals caravan gets started in multiple cities around around this part of the country, in Missouri, Tennessee, Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky. And if you want information on the exact schedule, where everybody's going to be and when, I think the simplest thing is to just simply put in Cardinals Caravan into Google, and it's the very first result. The Cardinals website comes up. So Cardinals Caravan, Google it. You will find all the information you need. It gets started January 17th. We'll roll through the 20th. Martin Coco, and enjoy your time on the Cardinals Caravan, and we appreciate you being with us today.
Yeah, glad to be with you guys, and look forward to seeing folks out there on the road.
That is Martin Coco, St. Louis Cardinals Director of Marketing, with us. So every time the winter warm-up rolls around, mm-hmm. and we're getting close to that too, it's right at the same time here, and then the Cardinals Caravan, you know that you are just a few weeks away from spring training, which you look outside, you see the ice and the snow and parts of the area still not plowed, and realize baseball's coming.
It is. No, it's exciting. And we're going to be there at the winter warm-up.
Are we for sure?
I thought we were for sure.
We better be.
Well, look for us. No, I'm pretty sure we are. I think so.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. Either way, we're excited because it's always
Cardinals
that
Care winter warm-up, by the way, Amy, starts on the 18th. So
yes.
Those 18, 19, and 20.
It's always that Martin Luther King Jr. weekend,
yep.
Ending on MLK Day.
I'm looking forward to it.
It is fun. I will say, I love this snow. I'm really enjoying the winter right now. If it starts to melt away and is just gray and gross next week, man, you're going to want to look forward to baseball because it gives you a little bit of hope. Like, I don't think there are few things as exciting and hope-giving in the dreary days of winter than hearing pitchers and catchers report to spring training.
Gives I don't hope. Know if I'm, you know.
It doesn't give you hope?
No, it does. Oh. It does. And I know I'm going to be more ready for it the closer it gets.
Yeah.
But it still feels like...
Oh, I'm not ready yet.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I'm not ready primarily because I love the snow.
I do too.
And so I'm enjoying the snow. What I know is, like, when it's just gray and gross and sloppy and cold, blah.
Just get some boots.
I've got more boots than I want to talk about right now.
When we come back... Circus Harmony has an event coming up, and it is a good one that you're going to want to know about that gets started in February. And we have a couple of representatives from Circus Harmony joining us next. Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Before I got incarcerated, Sally, I didn't really know much about firefighting. So once I did become incarcerated, I actually ended up liking it. So yeah, I can actually see myself as a firefighter. Hopefully, once I parole, I'll be going to the Ventura program, graduate from there, and then be on with Cal Fire.
We've been putting them out for the last 24 hours. We're down 24 right now. So we're a little bit tired, and we just had a great meal, and we're about ready to bed it down. And I'm real thankful to be here and with everybody here and everybody that's supporting firefighters.
So the voices that you're hearing, those are some of the 939 prison inmates who have been deployed by the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation to help fight the fires in California. It's actually a pretty cool program. And the inmates, the incarcerated individuals who are helping to fight the fires, are getting training. And there are certain parameters. You can't be convicted of rape or murder or a violent crime like that. You have to have less than 8 years remaining on your sentence. For every day that you fight a fire, you get 2 days removed from your sentence. You get a small payment. It's less than minimum wage. It's like what you would get as an incarcerated individual. But then also you have an opportunity after you get out of prison to stay with the fire department. And they said it's just an incredible anti-recidivism program that they have. And the firefighters, I mean, it's tough work, but as an incarcerated individual, it gives you purpose, it gives you meaning, and you're contributing to society.
They need every bit of help they can get right now.
Yeah.
So it's very cool they're doing that. And as we mentioned before we went to break, Circus Harmony has an event coming up called Unbound. It is it's something that's going on through the month of February. It gets started every weekend. It will happen in February at 2:00 at the City Museum. And joining us, we have two people involved with Unbound. First, it's Evan Tomlinson Weintraub. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly.
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. I did it. And India Tui, who is with us as well. And India is an acrobat who's participating in this. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So tell us about Unbound and what people can expect when they go.
So Unbound is a full-length circus show that Circus Harmony is doing this February. And it is an unfettered look at fairy tales. And the idea of it is that actually the Circus Harmony acrobats and students came up with the theme of fairy tales and voted on it, actually. And so it was up to me as their guest director to really say, what can we do that's a little bit more interesting than doing sort of our classic straightforward fairy tales? And so it's a look at India, who plays Dot, our main character. She's sort of a brat. She sort of exists as a mean girl, and she gets whisked away, a la Dorothy and Wizard of Oz, to this land of fairy tales where things are sort of turned on their heads. Classic characters we know are sort of meaner than they're supposed to be, or an example is like Snow White has been told all her life that she's beautiful, and so she becomes a sort of vain monster. And when Dot interacts with her, she sort of gets brushed aside, and she sort of goes through these journeys through these different character worlds and realizes that maybe I can make a different choice. Maybe I can sort of exist in a world that is not me being mean to everyone.
Yeah, and Circus Harmony, you guys say that it is a social circus. And there might be people who are like, what does that mean? Like, are we living in a circus right now? So, like, a social circus, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Because yeah, like, totally. Are they just talking
You're
about
not
life?
Wrong. Yeah, yeah. You're not wrong, absolutely. But Circus Harmony is actually St. Louis's only social circus. And what that means is that they're going out in the community. There's free classes at rec centers all around St. Louis. There are scholarships, I believe, for students who want to come in who may not be able to pay. It's a way of Circus Harmony likes to say, of teaching the art of life with circus. It's about inviting kids, adults, anyone between the ages of 3 to even 93 has been our oldest student, to come learn circus, but also learn about perseverance and teamwork and collaboration and all the things that you're going to need in life. You're just doing it in a more acrobatic fashion.
So, India, you are an acrobat. I'm going to ask you what everybody asks you. Why and how'd you start it?
I've kind of been doing stuff for a while, actually. I had these set of, like, kind of jungle gym rings that my parents got from IKEA, and they hung them in my room, and I was on those all the time. I would go up and brush my teeth in them and just swing, and that was like my favorite thing. And then I learned from a friend about Circus Harmony in like 2018, I think, and I started doing classes, and I really got into aerial arts, and then I slowly added tumbling and juggling and acrobatics, and now we're here.
That's incredible on multiple fronts. Yeah. One, how cool that your parents put like circus rings or equipment in your bedroom so you could just hang out and play in the bedroom. I mean, we had the playground, yeah, like a little swing set.
We had to go outside.
Yeah,
and
you had to go out. But to have them there, you literally must have been just there all the time.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. So then how do you go from that to I want to do that up in the air where it's, kind of dangerous?
I don't know. It felt really natural. And I was always felt super safe with the coaches, and we have mats, obviously. It never really like seemed that scary. I don't know.
I think a lot of circus people have a little bit of an adrenaline bug for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is scary. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you do and learn that is scary the first time, but there's also that sort of that feedback of this is really exciting and it's really impressive that I can do it, and sort of mm-hmm. that achievement rush
yeah.
of like, oh yeah, I just did, you know, a triple backflip on this and landed it and perfectly, you know, and it feels good. And then layer that on top of circus, which is different from gymnastics, because you can do that in gymnastics, but you get that feedback from an audience. You get that interaction mm-hmm. with an audience, and you're sharing something. And I think that's a really big driver for people, is that you might have the sport bug, but circus is also specific to performance and expression.
Do a lot of the performers in Circus Harmony have gymnastics or tumbling backgrounds?
It kind of depends. I feel like a lot of, at least the troupe that we have right now, just started with Circus Harmony, and everyone kind of has their own unique collection of mm-hmm. skills that works for them that they like. We definitely have some people who started tumbling, and it shows. That's their thing. That's what they like. But I think most people didn't really get started. They do tumbling here with Circus Harmony because it's one of the skills everyone needs to work on. But
how much work do you feel like you need to put into it?
So much.
The level that India is performing at now is, I mean, it's a job outside of school as well. They're there a good minimum 2 hours a day for 6 days a week. Circus Harmony has a great relationship with City Museum where they're based. And every Saturday and Sunday, they put on free 30-minute shows for the museum. And so the kids are not only training during the week, but they're performing during the weekends. They are fully committed to this, at least as long as they want to be.
What is the age range of those performing in Circus Harmony?
It's been younger, it's been older, but for right now, I think our youngest is 11 and 18 is our oldest. Yeah,
11 to 18.
And that's sort of the Circus Harmony St. Louis Arches age. But like I said, we have people taking classes from as young as 3-year-old to the oldest student was 93.
Yeah.
We like to say it's never too old to run away.
I know. We talked to you guys a couple of years ago, maybe last year, but we were thinking.
Was it about becoming clowns?
Clowns. I don't think it was. I thought we were going to do a trapeze.
Oh. Yeah.
We teach both at Circus Harmony, so please come and take classes.
Yeah, I think we were totally invited to be in the clown school.
I think so.
Absolutely.
I think that's where our talents would be. Like maybe the clowns aren't flying, right?
Again, depends on what kind of clown you want to be.
Do you have a cannon? Like a cannon?
No, we don't have the space for that. But our coach, one of our coaches was a human cannon.
I believe she was the first female human cannonball with Ringling or a circus. I'm not
really.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Eliana Grace Hentoff-Killian.
I believe she started when she was like 17 or 18. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
How far do you get shot out of a cannon?
It's far.
I don't know.
Why would you not think that? That's my first question.
I am wondering.
Is it across this room? It's 10 yards.
No, it's at least because we get to go see shows and things.
Yeah.
We get tickets for things. So we saw Ringling last year sometime, and it was in the Enterprise Center, so across that was there.
Oh my gosh.
I'm good.
That's exciting.
I'm good.
Okay,
I ain't doing all that.
Now, this is also another question I have, because you guys are in a circus. You're doing, like, the flying and the tumbling. When a movie like The Greatest Showman comes out, do you like it or do you go, oh, that would never happen?
That's not real.
That's not real.
That's not how it's done.
I watched that before I really joined the, like, performance troupe, and I haven't watched it since. So when I saw it, it was just fun. So I can't really.
You're going to Neil deGrasse Tyson in the movie.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, actually, we would never do that.
the thing is that I actually had a few friends that performed in that movie.
Really?
So I know a few of the acrobats who were hired to do some of the big circus scenes.
That's awesome.
So it is real, grounded in reality. It's grounded in real circus that we know and love today. And the movie itself obviously is talking about circus of a past time,
right?
It's not the circus that you see today. There are so many varieties of circus these days. Circus Harmony and the Ringling we sort of look at as traditional. Cirque du Soleil and sort of more contemporary or weirder, as I like to say. Mm-hmm. You get a whole spectrum of circus.
And you've directed Cirque du Soleil.
So I've been a coach. So my history is that I was a performer with Cirque du Soleil for the past few years. I'm starting to make my transition towards more directing and coaching. And I just finished coaching their Christmas show, Twas the Night Before, actually with one of Circuit Harmony's alumni. I got to coach him, and we've performed together before that. So it all stays in the family, pretty much.
It's so impressive. I went to Faust Park, which is a local park, and they have their, like, jungle gym area, like the bars that the kids can play on the playground. And I grabbed a monkey bar, and I hung from the monkey bar. And this was my first thought. Oh, my gosh. I could never do Cirque du Soleil.
That's what you thought?
Yes, because I just hung there. I couldn't, like, move. It was just body weight. It felt like I was being dragged to the center of the earth.
This is why you're going to the clown school.
I know, but it felt like I was being dragged to the center of the earth, so it's so fun to see people who can defy gravity, because I cannot. I just like that gave me such an. If you're listening right now, go grab onto a bar and try to hang from anything. Just tell me it's not amazing.
Well, come to Circus Harmony and do it. We'll teach you how to do it properly.
Right. No, she's going to the clown school. She can't do whatever you're going to try to do.
I'm bottom heavy. All my strength is in my legs. I can't. But I'm going to try it because it is defying gravity, and it's a lot of fun to see people do that.
Absolutely.
India, how far do you want to go with being an acrobat?
I'm not really sure at the moment, but I want to go to Illinois State, and they do have
birds.
A circus.
Yes, it's, don't tell me, it's a Gamma Phi circus?
Yes,
Gamma?
That is correct.
Yes,
Gamma Phi.
That's where I went, so I know about it.
Yeah, so I want to continue to do circus in a way that's fun and not taking up my whole day. I don't want to do just circus, go to just a circus school, and I don't want to just stop when I graduate at the end of this year. So I like that they have both, and I can continue it and see where my life takes me. And
I remember, because awesome. I was really into sports there, and I think it's like 2 weeks, they're at the arena, and all the sports get kicked out.
Yes.
I just remember all of that. But yeah, it was a very big deal at ISU, so good luck to you when you get there.
Yeah.
Unbound starts February 1st.
February 1st. It is every Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m., throughout February. So
at
there's
City Museum.
At City Museum, yes. And ticket includes admission to the museum.
Awesome.
So go to circusharmony.org where you can get all your tickets. Please come, because these 11 to 18 year olds are doing incredible stuff, and I'm really happy to be here working with them.
Circusharmony.org is the website. And you go circusharmony.org/events. Evan Tomlinson Weintraub and India Tui, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Do you think I could take credit for getting Illinois State University another student in India who wants to participate in the Gamma Phi Circus there?
I'm trying to think if you are...
She would have no idea about ISU unless I said something about it.
Well, I just can't tell if you are driving students away and she went there despite you, or if... and they would have had more students if you hadn't gone, or if you did encourage them, her to go. I don't know. It could go either way.
I'd like to take credit.
Hey, Ranj, speaking of flying through the air and potentially falling, guess what time of year it is for Florida residents?
Flying through the air and falling.
Really falling from the air.
Skydive season?
Nope. Skydive season. it's a good guess.
Is there a skydive season?
It's a good guess. Skydiving season opens on the 14th. No. It's falling iguana season, because see what's happening is in Florida, they don't get temperatures below 40s very often. But once the temperature drops below the mid 40s, it shocks the iguanas. They're just stunned. They're in the trees. It's called a cold, stunned state. And so they're perched there. The temperature drops and they just go and they freeze up. And because they've frozen up, they fall out of the trees. Giant iguanas. Michael Kelly has experienced this.
Has he been hit by one?
He might have
gotten
hit.
Did he get attacked by a bird, or am I thinking of somebody else?
I think you're thinking of someone else.
But he does seem like the kind of guy who would get attacked by a bird.
That's true. I mean, he's fallen into bushes.
Mm-hmm.
He has been hit by falling iguanas. But yeah, it's actually a thing. So when you are walking under trees, you need to be careful, because the cold-blooded reptiles... iguanas, they become immobile, they're just stunned, they lose their grip on the branches, and then plop, kerplunk, they fall they fall out of the tree.
Do they die?
I don't think so.
So it's falling iguana season. Uh-huh. When is raining frog season? When does that happen?
Oh, that is a thing.
Yeah, so when does that happen?
Real. I would need to look that up. I don't have my raining frog receipts on me at the moment, but I will say... You need to look. I'm on an AccuWeather story about the falling iguanas. So maybe if you Google AccuWeather and falling iguanas, it's worth looking at the pictures, because they look incredibly dramatic. They're on their back, on the pavement. Their arms are out. They just look so dramatic.
Oh,
like
those
as
poor
if they,
iguanas.
As if they were walking down the street and got shot and then fell, like bad actors do in movies.
Those poor... Oh, the Wilhelm scream.
Wilhelm scream. It was. So anyway.
Did you? So we had people, a bunch of people earlier texting in about the St. Patrick's Day that happens in Rolla.
In Rolla.
So Rolla, it is a huge deal there.
Who would
and
have known?
We were told that St. Pat is the patron saint of engineers.
Yep.
So Rolla is the engineering school.
So what you're saying is St. Patrick wasn't very social.
They said, wow.
At our time with women, too.
You know what? My cousin's an engineer, and he cannot talk to anybody.
Do you know how you can tell if you're talking to an extroverted engineer? An introverted engineer just stands there and looks at his shoes. An extroverted engineer stands there and looks at your shoes.
That's really funny. I'm not kidding. That's really funny. So one texter said that the St. Patrick's Day has been celebrated at MSM, which I had to ask what that is. It's the Missouri School of Mimes.
Mimes?
Mime, not mimes. No, that's
we
Circus Harmony.
Circus Harmony.
No, mimes, like, you know, digging in mines. Then UMR, which is Rolla, and then Missouri S&T, Science and Technology.
Nice.
So that's been going on for 116 years.
So it's bigger than the one in Dogtown. Right?
I guess. Dogtown is a great...
I know it's huge. I don't want to, you know, put out false claims, but I think
maybe we should make a Twitter poll. Which St. Patrick's Day celebration is bigger, Rolla or Dogtown?
Oh, dude.
That would rile people up.
Let's go with that. I do think that that Dogtown celebration is so much fun, and I love the fact they do it on the 17th, no matter if it's Tuesday.
Love it.
They're doing it on Tuesday, and it's all day. People take off work. The neighborhood is so much fun.
I used to live in Dogtown, and it was a blast. Now, I lived on the edge of Dogtown, so I could get out. But a lot of my neighbors could not get out. Like, you're either out or you're in, but you're not going in and out on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, your car's stuck.
You're stuck.
Like the snow if you live in Soulard.
Right.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We're going to come back with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow for our Tuesday show, but anything you missed is on the Odyssey app right now. AUDACY. We want you to listen in and then listen to the show tomorrow on that very same app. Thank you for being with us today. The Dave Glover Show is next. Amy and I, we're going to hang out for an hour here on KMOX.